Would you please join me with a word of prayer? As we bow our heads to pray, I want to invite you for a moment of silence to pray for yourself. In this Thanksgiving season, we give thanks to a lot of things. But the most important gift that we have received is Christ Jesus. That God loved us so much, He gave us His only begotten Son in order to save us. And thus salvation caused His life. So I think it is appropriate for us to bow and to meditate upon this marvelous gift, that we are not worthy of receiving it, but yet we have Him. So I want to invite you at this moment, reflect upon your life, what happened in the past week. If there's any sin that stands between you and Christ, I want to invite you to confess. For He has marvelous grace. Just like the song that we sung, we are sons of God because of Christ. He defined who we are. And in Christ, we know that we belong to Him. There's no sin greater than His grace. So let's confess before Him. Lord Jesus, please listen to our confession. And we know that the grace coming from You is unchangeable. And when we confess our sins, You will wash it clean. And we pray that not only by confessing our sins, You wash it clean, but also instill in us a new spirit, constantly renewed by Your love, so that we can be people of You, that our deeds and our words will reflect who You are. And in this season, as we all gather together around our dinner tables in a few nights ago to celebrate, there was an animal being slaughtered so that we can celebrate. And we remind us that You are the One, the Lamb of God, who was slaughtered, so that we are celebrating. And we are looking forward to that grand celebration when we see You again in heaven. Lord Jesus, we give thanks for such marvelous grace and privilege. But at the same time, we also remember people in our community, maybe down a couple of streets, people in our state, and maybe people in California that just been affected by the wildfires. They might not have that privilege to gather together in a Thanksgiving meal. We pray for them. Lord, we pray that You will comfort them, that we pray that the rebuilding, that the help will be timely. And then if You prompt our hearts to help them, would You please also encourage us to put that into action. Lord, we also pray for our country, pray for our government, that we know that the Lord of Almighty is sitting in the throne and remains sovereign over human kingdoms. So we pray for our government that they will follow Your will. They will do what You cause them to do in order to advance Your plan, so that more people will know You. We pray that our government official will submit themselves to Your guidance, to Your rights and wrongs, to Your grace, so that they will rule this country with justice and with grace and with truth. Father, we pray that in our life we will reflect who Christ is. And today, as we gather as your people in your sanctuary, we pray that you will take us deep into your word to comfort, to correct, to convict, and to guide us. We pray in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Would you please remain standing as I read today's scripture? Today's scripture is coming from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. Mark 12, 28 to 34. I'm reading from the ESV version. Mark 12, verse 28 to 34. This is the reading of God's word. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul and with all your minds and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that. He is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the hearts and with all the understandings and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. That's the reading of God's word. Please be seated. I'm delighted to introduce to you today, we have a guest speaker. Actually, this guest speaker, Pastor Chun Si, I think he has an English name, Pastor Theo, is coming from our neighborhood. He was pastor in Monmouth Chinese Christian Church just a few months ago. And now he and his family, I think Pastor Si's wife, Vivian, is also with us with their two daughters. They have three daughters. And I was told their oldest daughter is going to be baptized today in their home church. So after the sermon, he probably need to rush back to Monmouth Christian Church for that ceremony, with that privilege of baptizing his oldest daughter today. So Pastor Si grew up, he actually was born in Beijing and grew up in Hong Kong until his high school years, and then came to the United States for college education as well as grad school. Like most of us, that he graduated from his graduate school, got a graduate degree, and then worked as an engineer for many years, and then God called him, and then he quit his job and received seminary training. And on his bio, he said he was studying as a pastoral staff in the Monmouth Christian Chinese Christian Church in 2011. 2013, and he was ordained there in 2015. And now he's in transition because he and his family are going to move to England, actually going to Edinburgh for his PhD study in systematic theology. So without further delay, and also with delight, I want to introduce Pastor Si and come and share with us with God's word.
Good morning, everyone. It's God's special privilege for me to come here to share God's words with you, and thank you for the introduction and the invitation of the church for me to come here. Indeed, during a Thanksgiving Sunday such as today, we have so many things to give thanks from the food, the clothing that we have, and the house that we live in, to the families and friends and the relationship that God has given us. And of course, the most important thing of all is the salvation we have in Christ. And talking about salvation, it is not so much what we received from God, our justification, adoption, sanctification, but salvation, when we look at the Bible, is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. It is not so much the benefits or us as the beneficiaries of salvation, but the benefactor of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. And on a Thanksgiving Sunday, I understand that many people, they might have friends and families coming from out of state to come visit us. So today I have chosen a passage from Mark, and this passage is related to the gospel. And I hope by the end of the sermon, we will all come to a better appreciation of what God has done for us in Christ. And so this passage is, the situation is in the Passion Week. On Monday in the Passion Week, Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly. And then on Friday, that was the Good Friday. So here, in the middle of the week, there has been some discussions and there has been some disputes. And Jesus was being tested by different groups of people. Actually, there are three rounds of testing. The first round of testing is from the Pharisees. They ask Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar's? And so this is a political question trying to trap Jesus. And the second testing is from the Sadducees. They ask him something about resurrection. And so this is a question related to the law and the religious debate. And now here comes the scribe, and he's the third one who is trying to test Jesus. And he asks him, which is the most important commandment in the law? And so this is a question related to the Torah. When we think about this question, why is it a testing? When we think about it, this question is really not complete. For example, if I ask you, which is the most important book in the whole world? That really depends on the objective. If you want to understand the philosopher Plato, the most important book probably is his Republic. If you want to understand what is evolution, the most important paper is from Einstein in 1905 about special relativity. If you want to understand how to cook a Chinese meal, then you need to get a cookbook. And so it really depends on what is your objective. The same thing is true. If I ask you, out of the 66 books of the Bible, which book is the most important? That also depends. If you want to understand creation, you probably need to read Genesis. If you want to understand the wisdom of the Hebrew people, then you need to read Proverbs. If you want to understand what is the gospel, then you need to read the four gospels. If you want to understand what salvation is, the best book is the book of Romans. If you want to understand what will happen to us at the end of the age, the book to read is Revelation. So what is the most important commandment? What is the objective of this question? And if we understand the context, in those days, the rabbis, they have figured out which is the least commandment. They have a consensus out of the 613 commandments in the Torah. They have figured out the least commandment is this. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 26, 6 to 7. I will read that to you. If you come across a bird's nest in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall let the mother go, but the young you may take for yourself, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long. They have all agreed that this is the least commandment in the Torah. Not that this is not important, but if even this commandment needs to be obeyed, which is the most important? They don't have a consensus on that question. Because if you say, this is the most important, then someone else would say, what about this one? If you put this question in the New Testament context, we can also ask the same thing. Which verse is the most important in the New Testament? Someone would say, it's John 3:16. But some others would say, no, it's Acts 4:12. And there would also be some others who might say, it's Romans 5:8. So you will get into arguments, and this is what the scribe wants, because the scribe wants to pit Jesus against different groups of people. And so, let's look at this passage. Let's look at the first part. The first part is verses 28. I have already introduced that. And then the second part is verses 29 to 31. And so, Jesus here has given an authoritative answer. If you still remember your math, there is something called permutations and also combinations. A permutation is a method of counting that takes into account the sequence. And combination is counting without taking into account the sequence. The scribe asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important? And out of 613 commandments in the Torah, Jesus picked out two and picked these out in sequence. And so the number of permutations is 375,156. And Jesus can just pick out these two in a second. And so they have these two commandments are now in sequence. And so let's have some observations on these two commandments, on what Jesus is saying here. So the first observation is that these two commandments, they are given to Israel. They are not given to the general public. The first commandment comes from Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5, and the second comes from Leviticus 19, 18. In both of these passages, the audience are Israel. So we need to understand the Ten Commandments and these two commandments are the summary of the Ten Commandments. These are for Israel. They are not for the general public. That means they are given to people who have already experienced the deliverance and the salvation from God. It is not given to people so that they might earn God's love. It is given to people who have already experienced the love of God as a way for them to show their gratitude toward God in response. So this is the nature of the commandment. And the second observation is that the scribe asked Jesus, which is the most important? The scribe is asking one commandment, but Jesus is giving out two commandments. That means these two cannot be separated. If I ask you, which is the most important traffic law? You might say, the most important traffic law is stop when you see the red light. And the second is like unto it, you can go when you see the green light. These two cannot be separated, but there is an importance in the sequence. When you see the red light, if you don't stop, you might get killed. But if you see the green light, and if you don't go, you won't get killed, but someone might curse you. So there is an importance in the sequence. Why are these two related? It is not enough just to love God. We have to love people as well. This is very wise. Jesus' response is extremely wise because throughout the history of the world, we have seen religious fanatics. They kill people in the name of God. Why would they kill people? Because these people, they don't believe in my God. They are the enemies of my God. So in the name of my God, I can kill you. Jesus is trying to avoid this. If you want to love God, you have to love people. Loving people is part of loving God. It is part of our responsibility of loving God by loving people. Loving people is not the whole of loving God, but it is part of our loving God. And why was Jesus killed? Why was Jesus killed? Because those religious leaders think that Jesus does not align with their version of God. Jesus, the gospel of Jesus, is something different from their thinking about what God is, who God is. And Jesus is trying to subvert the God of Israel in their mind. So Jesus was killed. And the same thing is true with Apostle Paul. Why would he persecute Christians? Because these Christians are now proclaiming Jesus as God of the... So this is what Jesus is trying to avoid. You have to love God, but you have to love people as well. And also, it is not enough just to love people without loving God, because we would not have known how to love people without us first being loved by God. How do we love people? Because we know who God is. God is love, so we love. God is just, so we also need to have justice on this world. God is true, so we need to be honest. All these are different ways of loving people. And the third observation is there is a sequence to these two commandments. The first one is loving God and then loving people. Jesus didn't put the two in reverse order. And this sequence is reflected in the words all and in the words as. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. But we love people as yourself. Love our neighbor as yourself. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And Jesus didn't even say, love God as yourself. So we have to love God with all our heart. There is no limit as to how much you can love God. You know, we don't love God with all our hearts all the time. We may do that for 5 minutes, but it is not possible, really, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And that brings us to the needs of the gospel. Why do we need the gospel? Because none of us can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength all the time. We might be able to do that during the retreat, during certain moments of our devotion, but we cannot do it from the morning till the evening, because this is not something that we are capable to do. We are sinners. That's why we need a Savior. The only person in this world who can love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength is Jesus. And he is the one who can give us salvation as we receive him into our lives. And also, the word love that is being talked about here is the word agape, agapeo. This love is a selfish love. It is an unconditional love from God to humans. And we are to use this same kind of love to love God bad and also to love people as ourselves. And so this is not a natural commandment. No one can do this without first being loved by God. If we are not first being loved by God unconditionally, we would not have known how to love God and also love our neighbors in the same way as we have experienced. And so this is not about morality. This is not about doing good things. This is not about having good attitudes. This is about receiving the unconditional love of God through Jesus. And only then can we begin on the journey of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves in kind. And so let's look in greater details about these two commandments. So the first commandment, this most important commandment, we have to understand it doesn't begin with the most important commandment is to love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The most important commandment does not begin with verse 30. It begins with verse 29. And verse 29 is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So before Jesus tells us the intensity of our love, he tells us the object of our love. Who is this God that we are to love with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Indeed, in this world, there are many who love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. But their God is called money. But their God is called career. And their God is called family and friends. Indeed, there are many people who love these gods with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so Jesus here, as part of the great commandment, as part of the most important commandment, he says, who is this God that we are to love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? This God is our Lord. This God is not the Lord. This God is our Lord. It is both objective and subjective. We have to love our Lord. It is not someone else's Lord. I know this morning in many churches there will be baptisms, and I will also have this special privilege to baptize my own daughter later on. And in baptism, the key thing is we receive Jesus not as the Savior, but receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord. And this is the Lord, and this is the God that we are to love with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And it also says the Lord is one. There is only one true God. And this one true God is revealed in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as the triune God. This God is three in one. And that's why when we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There is only one true God. And because there is only one true God, you have to love this one true God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because he is God, and all blessings come from him. And so, after Jesus has specified the object of our love, he says how we are to love this God. Here it says, first, love this God with all your heart. And this heart is kardias in Greek, but it comes from Hebrew, labarb. It means really our mind and our thought. It does not mean our heart, you know, as we understand it in contemporary usage. It's not talking about your innermost emotion. If we go to Deuteronomy, the word labarb really means your mind, your thinking. And so this is the first part of loving God. We have to love God with our mind. We have to love God with our thinking. We have to think about God. How can you love someone without thinking about that someone? We have to think about God. We have to think about his words. We have to meditate on him. We have to think about him all the time. And this is the meaning of loving God. If we want to understand this word from Deuteronomy, because this verse comes from Deuteronomy. And then the second component of this loving is we have to love him with all your soul. And this soul is suhes in Greek, but in the Hebrew is nefesh. And this soul is your whole being, not just your mind anymore. It's your whole being. That also includes your emotion. That also includes your whole body. That's your whole being. It's not just a portion of your being, but your whole being, the totality of your life. This being is just is life. In many places, it is translated as life. We have to love God with all our lives, not just a certain portion of our life. I would love him after I retired. I would love him in the morning, during my devotion. I would love him on Sunday morning. Love God with all our being and with all our life means we love God in the totality of our body and also in the totality of our time. At every single moment, we have to love God with our soul. This is the meaning of nefesh. And then the third one is mind, and the fourth one is strength. But if we look at the verse from Deuteronomy, there is only three. There are only three. We have to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. How come there are four now? And the reason is because the word strength, there is no equivalent in the Greek to translate the word strength from the Hebrew. The word strength is the word makot. And what is the meaning of makot? It means much or muchness. We have to love God with our much, M-U-C-H. And that's the word very. After God created humans, he said, this is very good. And that very is makot. So we have to love God with our veriness. We have to love God with our muchness. And so there is no equivalent in the Greek to translate this word. And so in Mark, this is translated as mind and strength. And in Luke, this word is translated as strength and mind. And in Matthew, this is translated as mind. And so here, the meaning of loving God with all our strength is it's not only our mind, it's not only our total being, it is our total self that also includes our possessions, that also includes our talents, that also includes our time, that also includes our human networks, that includes our everything. This is loving God with all our strength. And so as we look at these three components, these are really three concentric circles. We start with loving God with our minds. We have to think about who God is. We have to know who he is from his own revelation. Otherwise, we cannot love him. We have to love him according to his own terms. And that term and those terms are defined in the Bible, in the revelation of God. And that's the first part of loving God. And start from our thinking, it transpires to our total being, our hearts, our total body. And from that, it transpires to everything, our possessions, our material possessions, our talents, our interests, our human friendships, our influence on this world. We have to use this whole thing to love God. And this is the meaning of loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so this is not as some would interpret, loving God with all our heart, that is our emotion, loving God with all our mind, that is our thinking, and loving God with all our strength, that is our will. And these are just Greek thinking. In the Hebrew thinking, a person cannot be divided into different parts of different components. The whole person is a single person. And so let's look at this second commandment. You have to love your neighbor as yourself, verse 31. This is not a mandate for self-love, because everyone knows how to love themselves. Our issue is we know too much how to love ourselves. Our issue is we don't love others enough. Just give you an example. As you drive through different places, you might see some homeless people. And if you happen to walk across them, you have some compassion that morning, you might, from your pocket, you know, give that person $50. That's pretty good, right? It's not bad, $50 to a homeless person. But when you think about it, you might be living in a house that is $500,000. So from he is homeless and you have a home, $500,000. Loving your neighbor as yourself, that means I wish you could also live in a house that is $500,000. But we don't have that kind of love. Our love for ourselves is 10,000 times more than our love for our neighbors. And that speaks to our needs of a Savior. None of us can really love our neighbors as ourselves. We will be bankrupt in 1 second if we truly love our neighbors as ourselves. We cannot do that. We don't have the capacity to do that. But Jesus can. Jesus can even give his life, not just to his friends, but to his enemies, to those who reject him, to those who still do not know him. And Jesus can die for his enemies. In the Gospel of John, he says, there is no greater love than this, that a person dies for his friends. And that's the limits of human love. Indeed, many would be willing to die for their parents, and many parents would be willing to die for their children, and some would be willing to die for their siblings, and there are others who might be willing to die for their friends. But no human is willing to die for his enemy or her enemy. But Jesus, he died for those who still reject him. And this is God's love. We don't have God's love. That's why we need a Savior. Jesus is the only one who can love God and love neighbor as God described it. And so this commands to love your neighbor as yourself is not a mandate for self-love, because We already know how to love ourselves. We love ourselves too much. That's why God says you have to love your neighbor as yourself. Focus more on the needs of others, not just our own needs. And so the whole of from the 5th to the 10th commandment is all about loving people. Honor your parents means love your parents. Thou shalt not kill. That means you have to love the lives of others. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You have to love the sanctity of marriage, of your own marriage and of the marriage of others. And also, thou shalt not kill. You have to love the private possessions of your neighbor. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. You should love the reputation of your neighbor as you love your own reputation. As much as you would love to honor your own name, you have to honor the name of your neighbor. And also, do not covet. You have to love your neighbor, his possessions, his servants, his oxes. The Ten Commandments is framed in the set of loving God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first four commandments. And also loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so, here we come to the third part of this conversation, verses 32 to 34. Here, the scribe is trying to paraphrase Jesus' response and then trying to grade Jesus' response, trying to say that Jesus is really a wise teacher. And even Jesus commended his response. And Jesus' commendation is, you are not far from the kingdom of God. That is both a good news and a bad news. The good news is you are not far. You are almost there. But the bad news is you are not there yet. For those who are going to be baptized today, they are already in the kingdom. They are already inside God's kingdom. They have received Jesus as their Savior and Lord. But for this scribe, literally, he is not far from the kingdom because Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom of God. He might be literally standing 3 feet from Jesus. You're not far from the kingdom of God. But if we look at his paraphrase, he changed one important word. In Jesus' commandment, he says, you have to love God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with all your strength, okay? But in the scribe's paraphrase, he says, love God with all their heart, all the mind, and all the strength. If you look at ESV, that is the correct translation. If you look at NIV, it still says, it doesn't translate it correctly in terms of having this article there. Loving God with all the heart, loving God with all the strength, with all the soul, and so on. This is still objective. That is not what Jesus say is the greatest commandment. The greatest and the most important commandment is to love God with all your hearts, our hearts, our mind, our strength. It's not just love God with the faculty of the mind, the faculty of the heart, the faculty of the strength, but love God with our personal, the whole heart. All means whole. Our whole thinking, not just a portion of our thinking, our whole body, not just a portion of our body, our total existence, not just a portion of our total existence. And so, at the end, we can see this is really not something that a human being can do. This commandment is not given so that you might earn salvation. By loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you can gain the kingdom of God because that is not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is to receive Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, into our lives as my Savior and as my Lord. In baptism, I'm going to ask all those who are going to be baptized, well, I'm a pastor, I'm going to ask my daughter two questions. Do you acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you have received Jesus as your Lord? Well, she has to answer yes, otherwise I won't baptize her. And this question deals with your eternity, Jesus as your Savior. And then I will ask her the second question. Have you received Jesus as your Lord? And then you are willing to follow him the rest of your life. And this is about the present life. It is not about the future. It is about the now. And before we see Jesus face to face, Jesus is our Lord. We have to follow him. And this is not a command for those who are trying to be baptized, but it is a command for those who have already experienced the love of God, the love of God, as a way for us to give thanks to God. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, let us give thanks to God, because salvation is not something that we can do for ourselves. Salvation is entirely of the grace of God, because salvation consists of the person, of the benefactor of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and who was raised on the third day, so that any who would come to him in repentance and faith would receive this salvation. And then we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and also love our neighbor as ourselves, as a way to live out this salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you because of what Jesus has done for us, and also because of who Jesus is. We give thanks to you that salvation is not by our own morality, by our own works. It is by what Jesus has done for us on the cross and who was raised on the third day. We give thanks to you for such a great salvation. I pray that every person who is in the worship service this morning have already received this salvation. And for those who are visiting, and for those who still do not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, I pray that you will speak to them through your Spirit and your words, and that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.